This morning I wanted to share on what I'm calling the eternal purpose of God. I actually started this search with the Lord putting things on my heart a couple of weeks before the conference, maybe two, three, somewhere in there. And I've got a lot of notes, and we probably won't cover all the notes, but I'll probably hit the highlights and just kind of do a bit of an outline, because there's a whole lot involved in it. And one way or another, I just see everything falling into this. I see everything coming into this. All right. And the first thing I just wanted to share that God is faithful and true to His eternal purpose. All right. God is faithful and true to His eternal purpose. And thank you. And I've seen this a little more with just the two aspects of the cross that I've been studying for the past couple of years. But to begin with, I'll just kind of show just the type, the shadow, how you can really see it. Is we mainly see it with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel in the Old Testament. That's the main type that you're going to find, and then everything else kind of falls into that type as well. But here I have the eternal purpose, the eternal purpose of God. We have the Father, we have the Beloved Son, and we have the Beloved Son in increase. This is His eternal purpose, His Son in increase. And the Son hath performed the will of the Father already. The Father has His eternal purpose performed already in His Son via His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We cannot add to it, nor can we take away from it. And to get to this purpose, to get to this goal, Ishmael and Esau were dealt with, which obviously Isaac is the type of the seed. Ishmael is not the seed. Esau and Jacob was dealt with as well, but it wasn't about Jacob. It was ultimately about the Beloved Son in increase, being Israel. All right. And it kind of, I've probably stated this before, but it starts basically with one who's not born again. One who is not born again, Christ is not present. Life is not present. The purpose is not present. So there's no understanding right there. All right? And because Christ is not present, because they are not born again, there's really no purpose. Okay? And what I mean by that is let's look at some verses. Because even by my words, they may sound pretty harsh. But Jesus even told Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders of the time, you must be born again. I'm trying to find Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. And basically this is Solomon. This is the preacher of preachers. This is the greatest preacher that ever lived. But we all know that the greater than Solomon has come. All right, this is Ecclesiastes 3, 18 through 20. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that
they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to the dust again.
So once again, you must be born again. All right. So with this part right here, with dealing with the single seed not being resident, with purpose not being resident within an individual, Christ not being present, the need then is the time of life. And I use that phrase because we'll look at these verses in just a second. The need is the time of life. It's when the seed appears. Remember? One who is not born again, Christ is not present. Purpose is not present. Life is not present. So we can say they have no life. They have no purpose until purpose is present. Purpose himself being Christ. All right, let's look at these verses dealing with the time of life. And remember, right here we're kind of looking with our diagram, right here with the beloved son. And we're looking at the shadow with Isaac. Okay? So here's we have the father, we have his beloved son, and right here is where we're focusing our attention at the moment. All right? So this is Genesis 18, verses 9 through 14. All right, and I'll just start reading. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent, in the tent door, and was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed with herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now we know that Isaac is the type of Christ, the single seed. So he appears, the seed appears at the time of life. And even later, we can see, because in reality, through all these types and shadows which were dark, there was no substance present. There was no life present. Christ was not present. But also, the time of life came and Christ appeared on the earth. Jesus of Nazareth, a single seed. And even as we're dealing with Isaac here as a single seed, he showed up. Christ actually did literally show up on the earth. All right. Here's another verse in 2 Kings 4, 12 through 17. And just, I want to make a comment, and I'll make it again as well. But just in verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? This is something they themselves could not perform. This is something they themselves could not do. There was no, in type and in shadow, there was no seed present. The son was not present. They could not perform anything to cause him to be there. They could not, I believe the verse says, being born again, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. God said, I will return according to the time of life. I will do this. All right. You can also see it with Matthew 19:16-26. I believe it's where the rich young ruler goes to him and says, what must I do to have eternal life? Or good teacher, what good thing must I do? And Jesus basically, he puts it this way, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. All right, our other verse was 2 Kings. And this was the first passage we just read dealing with Abraham and Sarah. There's always the need. There's always the need. If one is not born again, the need is the time of life. The need is life himself. The need is Christ. The need is Christ. Because Abraham and Sarah were going about their everyday things, but they had a need, and that need was, well, in type and in shadow, Isaac, who is type and shadow of the seed, Christ. All right, now in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 12. All right, and I'll just start reading 12 through 17. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, and this is dealing with Elisha and the Shunammite. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Because she had prepared a room for him. Elisha and Gehazi passed by on several occasions, and they stopped there to lodge. She provided basically room and board of no charge. So here's what he's saying. Thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken of to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. He's saying, what can I do for you? How about this? How about that? And she's basically regarding it as nothing and saying, I dwell among my own people. It goes on. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child. That term child is actually son. It's Strong's number 1121. She has no son. And her husband is old. What shall be done for her? Basically, what's the need? What can we do for her? And Gehazi answers, verily she has no son. And her husband is old. She's in a situation where the seed is not present, where the son is not present, and not only that, her husband is old, so she cannot perform, bring forth, or do anything in her own power to bring forth a son. Okay? And he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door. And he said, about this season, in the Hebrew, it's set time. At this set time, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Okay? This was a serious thing with her. Maybe this Shunammite had tried and tried to produce life. Maybe she and her husband, who is now old, had tried all their natural lifespan up to that point to try to bring forth a son, the son, failure after failure after failure. I'm not sure the situation, but this was serious with her. She was basically saying, don't lie unto your handmaid. This is a serious issue with me. Don't pull my leg. You're speaking that at the time of life there'll be a son. Don't tease me like that. Okay, so this is a serious issue with her, one who's in type. I'm just using this one who's type, in type, where the seed is not present, has no life, desiring life. All right, verse 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So first of all, we have as I was saying earlier with this diagram, we have Isaac, the beloved son, and then we have a situation where the beloved son is not present, where Christ is not present, where one is not born again. And so there's no purpose there, because Christ himself is the purpose of God. So then the need is the time of life. The need is that the seed appear. That the seed appear. All right? Now going on with our diagram, we have in between the beloved son and the beloved son in increase, we have Jacob and Esau. Now once again, right here, we've got a picture of Isaac in type. He's a picture of Christ, the single seed. Well, if Isaac is a type of the single seed, then that makes us, who are not born again, Ishmael. We've got Jacob. I'll just put this whole thing in parentheses right here. We've got Jacob and Esau. Jacob is a type of a believer, and I'll actually read in just a second, who's born again with the understanding of a child, with an understanding that's contrary to the seed. So, and right here I've got Ishmael and Esau, and I've got them X'd out. I don't know if you can see that or not, but they're actually X'd out, because that's not God's purpose. That's not his plan. I have Jacob X'd out as well, because the Father, God the Father, receives no glory from a Jacob nature. Even Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood it as a child, but when I became a man, the child was put away. When the man, Christ himself, was revealed in me, the child was put away. All right? And then we have the beloved son in increase with Israel. But right here is what we're going to deal with next, with this Jacob understanding, with this Jacob mentality that when we're born again, we all have. We are literally born blind and ignorant to the life we have received, to the nature we have received. All right? So, and we have Jacob right here. This is one who's born again. Christ is not revealed and has a child understanding. Right? This one is not serving purpose. This one has been brought into purpose because purpose has been brought into them, Christ himself, the eternal purpose of God, but he's not serving purpose yet. All right? So then, once again, we have also the need. What's the need for this one? Well, the need is the face of God. The increase, the fullness appearing. All right, and I've got some verses. The first verse we're going to look at, because it mainly deals with the face of God, is Penuel. In Genesis 32, and this is when Jacob wrestles with the angel. Genesis 32, verse 24 through 30. All right. And I'll just start reading with verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. As he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Basically saying, what is your identification? What is your understanding? His response is simply, I am Jacob. I am Jacob, the one who supplants, the one who works things for my good, the one who wants to be blessed by God, and I'll put my hand to it so I can be blessed by God. All right? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. All right. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. In verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, or Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And we've looked at this verse before. And once again, Penuel means the face of God. And that word is preserved is Strong's number 5337, which basically means snatched away, part, pluck, rid, strip, take out. And it's snatched away in a good or bad sense. And I want to describe the two different ways it can be looked at. Here's Jacob, in type of a believer, struggling with a nature that he thinks he has. And I say that because Isaac is his father. Jacob carries the nature of Isaac, his father. But he acts contrary to that nature. He thinks he has some other nature. All right? So he has the understanding of a child. If a born-again believer is struggling and trying their best to do good, to be like Jesus, almost like the rich young ruler said, to do good things, to stop doing evil things and start doing good things to please God, then unto them, this appearing, the face of God, the increase, the fullness appearing, is in a bad sense. Because they won't want that. Why do I want to come to an end when I'm trying my hardest to bring God glory? What do you mean? I'm working hard for this. I'm working hard for God. I want to do something great for God. And for someone to come and declare the truth, and for the Spirit of the Lord begin declaring the truth and beginning to show you're not it. Christ is what's it. And when He appears, when He's revealed, you're taken out of the picture. What do you mean I'm taken out of the picture? I've been working all my lifetime since I was born again. I've been working hard at this. So being snatched away there would be in a bad sense. Snatched away in a good sense would be a believer basically coming to the place where they are tired of themselves. They are tired of trying to toe the line. They are tired of trying to be good, tired of trying to get their act together. They've come to their conclusion. It was either, I'm going to use Paul and David. I think David said something, my goodness is nothing apart from you. Apart from you, I have no goodness. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Christ is the goodness. So for one who's tired of that type of existence, then yes, taking me out of the picture is a very good thing. Is a good experience. All right. Going on once again. This one with the Jacob understanding, not serving purpose, the need, the face of God. And let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The indwelling Christ appears. We also have another verse, Galatians chapter 1, which you're all very familiar with. Verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. I'll just stop right there. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace, for what? To reveal His Son in me. to reveal His Son in me. Okay? So in here we have the face of God, the need for this Jacob understanding, which is the understanding of a child. The need is the face of God. The increase, the fullness appears. All right? Now we're going to go to this. Basically, these are in my diagram here, which everyone will have on the internet. These are basically three blocks. One who's not born again, one who's born again with child understanding, and born again with the understanding of the Son. Here we go, with a beloved Son in increase, Israel. All right? Here we have one who's born again, continuing in Christ's revealing the understanding of the Son. This one, right here, is serving purpose. This one is serving purpose. All right? The need here is to be living in the appearing, which is walking in the appearing of the increase of the fullness. Here the need is the face of God with Jacob. The need is the face of God. And basically, with Israel, with an understanding of the Son, the understanding of the Son, the need is basically the same, but to continue in that, to continue in that, to continue in that. And we'll look at some verses here coming up right now. Thinking of different verses while I'm going over these. All right. Christ is His purpose. His Son is His purpose, but it is His Son in increase, His Son glorified. In His abundant mercy and love, God allows us to serve His purpose. And I've got three verses here. I'll just go ahead and turn to those real quick. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And 1 John 4, 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Okay, now back to our diagrams. If we are not born again, once again, we are Ishmael with no purpose. Or, if we are born again, we are Jacob, brought into purpose because purpose Himself is brought into us, yet not serving purpose. If there is no Penuel, then ignorance comes up with reasons, excuses for a Jacob existence. And we will do that. I've done that. Y'all may have done that as well. If there is no Penuel, if there is no appearing, if there is no face of God, if there is no revelation of Christ, then ignorance comes up with reasons, which I'm calling excuses, really, for a Jacob existence. That's where we're stuck here, a born-again believer, yet Christ is not revealed. And, well, why am I acting like this if I'm born again? There must be something more. Maybe I have to pray more. Maybe I have to pray through. And then different ones come up with reasons. Well, you're in this situation because because you've sinned, brother, and you need to repent. You need to get right with God. Or, well, brother, you need to pray continually. All these reasons to basically validate this existence. But this existence is just the result of a lack of a penuel, a lack of the revelation of Christ, a lack of the face of God. And it, really, that's what it comes down to, is that till Christ is revealed, there will be reasons and excuses for us continuing the way we always have before we were born again, because we're ignorant of the life we have received, even as Jacob was contrary to the nature, to the seed of Isaac. All right? Now, going a little bit further with that, Jordan is an understanding given of God showing what took place in the Passover and Red Sea that we might serve purpose. All right? This is same verse we read just earlier, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The sun coming forth out of the grave, out of the ground, and increased. And I've got an example of that. Elijah and Elisha. This is 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 8. Basically, that part of Scripture where Elijah's taken up and Elisha remains. And Elijah asks Elisha, well, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want a double portion of what you have. I want a double portion. Well, we all know that the double portion only goes to the firstborn. And I'm looking at it as a double portion, as an understanding. As an understanding, Christ being revealed. Once again, with the diagram, with this understanding, the beloved Son in increase with Israel, basically at that point, with this first part, if we're not born again, we are Ishmael. If we are born again and Christ is not yet revealed, then we have a Jacob understanding. Now, if we're born again and we have the understanding of the Son, then we are not. We're not something. We're not. We're not. Because this is basically what it is. We are not, and thus serving purpose. Now, it may sound a little crazy, the statement, but here's what it is. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. We walk in that understanding. We continue in that understanding. We have that understanding. As Rabin would put it, that is our state of being. Not I, but Christ. It's not what we do, what we don't do, what we say, what we don't say. It's an understanding. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this is the understanding that Paul once again came to. Because remember the verse that I quoted earlier where he said, when I was a child, I understood it as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, but when the man appeared, the child was put away. This is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the faith of the Son of God is basically not I, but other. Jesus would say, not I, but the Father in me doeth the works. Paul and all the believers, not I, but Christ liveth in me, but Christ in me. All right, let's see what we got over here. I've got tons of notes. All right, we'll look at this right here. These are actually some notes out of a class that I... let me look at these first. That's great. All right. Look at these notes first, and then we'll look at these. This is actually out of a class that we did earlier, and this is from That We May Live and Not Die, Part 1. So you may have already heard this, but I'm looking at this verse here in Genesis 43, verse 8, and it says, And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And basically it's from the phrase that we may live and not die. All right. I want us just really quickly to look at this word, and or at the phrase, and we will arise. It's Strong's number 6965. And this is the online Bible Hebrew Greek lexicon for the phrase, and we will arise. And I'll just read some of the definitions. To rise, arise, stand, rise up, stand up. To arise, come on the scene, to be established, to be fixed, to be proven, to be fulfilled, to be set, to fulfill, to confirm, establish, to cause to rise, to raise up, bring on the scene, establish. All right, for part of this definition here, to arise, come on the scene, I have on notes, to come into purpose, to come into purpose. You remember right here? We have no purpose. Christ is not present. No understanding, so we have no purpose. With Jacob, we have one who has been brought into purpose, but not serving that purpose. And then with Israel, we have the understanding of the Son serving purpose. All right? So this is right here with Jacob. To come into purpose, to come into God's eternal purpose, to have His Son in increase, and thus make manifest His increase. The seed is glorified in increase. Father is glorified in the increase of the Son, in the increase of His seed. Let's go ahead and look at those verses real quick. This is John chapter 12. Verse 23 through 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay. And verses 27 through 28. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And Isaiah 55. Verse 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It shall not return void. All right, as far as God's eternal purpose is concerned, it is finished and fulfilled in His Son via His death, His burial, and the resurrection of Him. As far as the born-again believer is concerned, they must come into the good of this purpose in their hearts, their soul actively partaking of and actively coming into the rest that is found in God's eternal purpose, His glorified Son. All right. And here's this other passage that I have in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. But this is basically just to show that in this, it's not a doing. To be serving this purpose is not serving as our minds would think to do something. It's not doing something. It's a state of being. It's not doing. I'm with an understanding of a child, I'm going to serve God. So that understanding says, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. I'm going to do because I'm going to serve God. Well, when I'm talking, when I'm speaking here of a believer here with the understanding of the Son, continuing the revealing of Christ, they are serving purpose. They are serving purpose, and I'll show it just right here with this verse. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And this is talking about Jesus. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. And this is always accomplished in 3 days. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. All right. This verse here, verse 49, And Jesus said unto them, is the verse we're going to be looking at. And Jesus said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I must be about my Father's business. This word be basically means to exist. The word about is Strong's number 1122, or excuse me, 1722, which we all know that one. It's en, in, a relationship of rest. Wist ye not that I must exist in a relationship of rest? That I must be in a relationship of rest. To be serving this purpose is to simply be in a relationship of rest. To be found in a relationship of rest. To exist in a relationship of rest. That's it. That's it. It's not serving as we would think with outward actions. It's a state of being. In a relationship of rest. As long as a believer is continuing living in the appearing of Christ, in the appearing of the face of God, they are serving the purpose of God. They are serving His eternal purpose. They're serving it. Why? Because they themselves are in that state, are in that relationship of rest. Once again, Jesus said, Not I, but the Father in me doeth the works. Jesus is a Sabbath. He could say, I do nothing. My Father doeth the works. Jesus never did anything. The Father in him did everything. With the actions that Jesus did and with the actions that he did not do. It was not I, but the Father. He was existing in a state, in a relationship of rest. He was being in a relationship of rest. For the believer, it's no different. Paul said, It's not I, but Christ in me. I am crucified. Nevertheless, I, the vessel, I'm here. Yet not I, the source of the vessel. Yet not I, the motive of the vessel. But Christ liveth in me. In a relationship of rest. Existing in a relationship of rest. There's another verse that I have that I just wanted to read. This is John chapter 15, verse 4. And we all know how it reads, showing in the King James. I believe y'all may or may not have it. I'll read it out of the King James. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. It sounds like Jesus saying, do this and I'll do this. Right? It sounds like, if you abide in me, then I will abide in you. You have to do this so I can do this. Well, we go back to the examples that we've been seeing from our diagram. The time of life. The need at that point was the time of life. But it was impossible with man. The Lord basically said, I will return again at the time of life. I will. All right? Then back with Penuel, the face of God. This was something of the Lord. The Lord showed him his face. I think it was J.W. said that Moses prayed, show me thy glory. And the most that the Lord did was showed him his back. He said, you shall not see my face. This is something of God. This is of God. All right? I took this verse and I looked at it in a lot of different translations after I believe I have a better understanding of it. The closest translation that I found that's really speaking what I believe that this verse is speaking is the 1965 Bible in Basic English. And it says, be in me at all times as I am in you. As the branch is not able to give fruit of itself if it is not still on the vine, so are not you able to do so if you are not in me. Be in me at all times as I am in you. All right? That takes the emphasis away from us doing to Christ having done. Right? I won't go in with a diagram that I've used for a while. But there it is. I used to have it going this way, you know? I used to have an understanding of the vessel and of Christ and abide in me, so I abide in him, and I in you, so he abides in me. That's the understanding that I had. Well, that's all right if you're coming from your point of view, but from God's point of view, I am in you. Remember? The time of life, born again, the seed is in you. And because Christ is in you, you are in Christ. If Christ were not in you, you would not be found in Christ. So in the verse, once again, John 15:4, be in me at all times as I am in you. I'll kind of reword this. Continue in me at all times, just as I am continuing in you at all times. Once again, what we were looking at, it's a state of being. Wist ye not that I must exist in a state of relationship? Did you not know I must be in this state of relationship? And that's all the Lord simply tells us, this just the same. Continuing this in your heart, in your understanding, in this state of relationship, because I am in you in this state of relationship. We're going to go on. And then, well, of course, now the question is, well, how do I do that? How do I continue? How do I continue in the state of relationship that I'm already in? All right? I'll just continue reading. I am the true vine.
John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Okay, and there we have that. We have this verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Remember? Jacob snatched away in a good or bad sense. Because you are in me. Because I am in you, and you are in me. If you're not bearing fruit, guess what? What is the need once again? Penuel, the face of God. And what does that mean? For I've seen God face to face, and my life is snatched away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, remember, right here with a Jacob understanding, there's no fruitfulness. And in fact, the Lord doesn't speak anything of fruitfulness to Jacob. It's only later, and I've got these notes scattered all over the place, it's only later that the Lord speaks, the Lord asks him once again, what is thy name? And I'm going to see if I can find that. Because Penuel is Genesis chapter 32. Chapter 32. And then I believe it's after chapter 32.
35,
yes. That's it. Yes, that's exactly it. All right, it's in Genesis chapter 35:10, starting with verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. This was after he wrestled with him. This is after Jacob saw the Lord face to face. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Here, with this understanding, there's no glory for God. God receives no glory here. And that's why the Lord says, this one shall not be fruitful. This one shall not multiply. The fruitfulness, multiplication, the multiplying is for increase for Israel. Thy name shall be Israel. Now be fruitful, be multiply, multiply. Basically, now be what you are. Fruitfulness, increase. Because Israel represents increase. Not that you have to do something. No, be what you are. One who's born again receives Christ, but they don't receive a small Jesus, if you will. They receive Christ who is the fullness, all and in all. We don't receive a small Christ. We don't receive a small portion of the Lord, and then later we will attain to a greater portion of the Lord. No, you have received the portion who is Christ himself, the double portion. You have received him himself. Our part, on our end, we are to grow up into the portion we have received. We are to grow up into the grace we have received. We are to come to know the one in whom all fullness dwells, who is in us. This is the one. That's why for here, for Jacob, for this understanding right here, the need is the face of God. The increase, the fullness must appear. The increase, the fullness must appear. All right? Going back with John chapter 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth even more. Every branch here that is bringing forth fruit, he continues to prune it, that it may continue in this state of rest, that it may continue in this relationship of rest, that it may be not I, but Christ. All right? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Once again, abide in me, continue in me, as I am continuing in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, he that continues in me, as I am continuing in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide, and that used to terrify me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That used to terrify me because it made me feel like I need to do something to abide, or not, here was the carnal understanding, I'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Well, what about this one? If I am here, and then at some point I stop in my relationship of rest, I move, therefore I break rest, I break Sabbath, I come out of Sabbath, and I come back to this understanding, well, what is the answer for this man of perdition, whom the Lord will destroy in the brightness of his coming? That's the answer. It's the Lord. It's the appearing of the Lord. It always is. The appearing of the Lord. The answer for Jacob is the face of God. The need is the face of God. For one who does not continue here in this appearing of the Lord, the one who does not appear in the coming of the Lord, in the appearing of the Lord, well, what's the need? The appearing of the Lord. The appearing of the Lord. If you stop out of this and come over here in your heart, in your understanding, then it's the Lord who must appear. It's the Lord who will appear. And I like that verse that I quoted just a while ago, the man of perdition. Well, who is that man? Guess what? I am. Whom the Lord will destroy in the brightness of his coming. For I've seen God face to face, and my life is snatched away. Paul said it, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Going on. Verse 7, if you continue in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And I had a verse where I actually had comments on that, and I'll probably not be able to find it. I'll try to find it real quick. Nope. It is somewhere. I know not where. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Well, how am I going to bear much fruit, which will bring God the Father glory? Right? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So shall you be my disciples. So shall you be my disciples. A disciple is a learner, right? One who learns. But the Lord is saying, you'll be my disciple. Learn of me. You'll be learning of me. You'll be knowing me. Paul, that I may know him. Paul's heart, Paul's desire, and I use Paul because in Christendom we look up to Paul. Paul, the great apostle Paul, right? Well, what's his heart? I want to be the great apostle Paul. I want to raise up many churches. I want to do a lot of miracles. No, that's not his heart. That I might know him is his heart. Paul, towards the end of his natural existence, towards the end of his natural life, his heart cry remains the same. That I may know him. And you find this in Philippians. That I may know him. Here in his verse 8 from chapter 15 of John, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I'll rephrase it, and I don't know if this is correct or incorrect, but it gets the point across. In knowing me, in learning of me, you will bear much fruit. I'll put it this way. In knowing me, the increase, the fullness, who is in you, in continuing in learning of me, you'll give evidence to what's there. Naturally. You'll give evidence in your actions or in your lack of actions, in your words, in your speech, or in your silence.
because the motive is not I but Christ. So shall you be my disciples. And herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. With these, I'm just looking at these with one, two, three. With these three, oh, I don't want to call in understandings, because with one who's not born again, there is no understanding. They have no understanding. But with these three, the need, the seed must appear, the need, the face of God, the fullness, the increase of the fullness must appear. With here, with Israel, the need, living in the appearing, walking in the appearing of the increase of the fullness. And I'll just read this verse, because I don't believe I read it. This is Acts 26:15. Once again, we've touched on Paul, how his heart was simply just this. He could sum it up in one short statement: that I may know him. All right, this is Acts chapter 26, verse 15. And this is Paul recounting his Emmaus Road, his Damascus Road to King Agrippa. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So the Lord appeared to Paul. Verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things into which I will appear unto thee." So Paul continued in the appearing of Christ. Paul continued living in the appearing. The need for Paul was to continue in the appearing, walking in the appearing of the increase of fullness. Right? Now, the appearing, the need is always the appearing. The appearing, or the lack of the appearing, results in the following. For this one, for here where there is no life, the appearing results in substance. Right? No life, life appears. No substance, substance appears. For this Jacob, born again, this one is not giving evidence to the substance because of the lack of the appearing. There's no evidence to the substance till the appearing of the substance comes forth. All right? Here, continuing with the understanding of the Son, continuing here, living in the appearing, results in giving evidence to the substance. You will. And it won't be in miracle signs and wonders, though it may be in that. It won't be in actions or lack of actions, though it may be in that. It won't be in speech or in silence, though it may be in that. It'll simply be as I believe Jesus, as we read, where Christ said it, "Know ye not the..." Well, I'm not sure if he said, "Know ye not," but, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wist ye not that I must be, that I must exist in this relationship with my Father, in this relationship of rest?" That's it. It's a simple relationship. It's a simple relationship. And in that, continuing in that, you're not breaking Sabbath. God is glorified. Continuing in that, there's the evidence of the substance, giving evidence to the substance. Continuing that in that relationship of rest may mean you may do something or you may not do something. But the Father is glorified. But why is he glorified? Is he glorified in the actions that we do? or in the actions that we don't do, in our words or in our silence. No, he's glorified with the understanding it's not I but Christ. Because therein, there's much fruit. Who Christ is. He is fullness. He is increased. With that understanding, not I but Christ, therein is the Father glorified. Because it's a relationship of rest. It's existing. It's being at rest, being in relationship. And I'm sorry that my notes have been a little scattered. You can ask Kay what I did yesterday. All day yesterday. I just tried typing them out. The Father's glorified. Yeah, here's the verse I was looking for. Learners of me, back to John chapter 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The word disciple is 3101, Strong's number 3101. Learners of me. Learners of Christ. To have an understanding of Christ, the firstborn, to know more fully. To know more fully. To know more fully. Basically all I had to share was just what I should have done is printed out these diagrams. They're a little better and they're a little clearer than the diagram that I have up here. Was basically that there's an eternal purpose that God has, and His Son hath performed it in His death and in His burial and in His resurrection. The need for one who is not born again, as Jesus said, you must be born again. He also said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. The need for one who is born again with a child understanding is the face of God. Peniel. In all these, the seed must appear for one to be born again. The increase, the fullness must appear in the face of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then to continue in that appearing. To continue walking in Him, we live, living, moving, being in Him, in the appearing of the increase of the fullness, of the increase, which is His fullness, living in the appearing, to continue in that. And it's not something that that we do externally with outward actions. This is just being a disciple. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, learners of me, those who know me, to know more fully, those who are knowing me and knowing me more fully. So that's basically all I had to share. Sorry, it probably sounded a little choppy. But there's more than in this study than I covered here. There's a whole lot more. But the Lord would, at least in my heart, the Lord would have me serve His eternal purpose. I've been brought into this purpose. We all have, because purpose Himself has been brought into us. Once again, God's eternal purpose is His Son in increase. He has His Son in increase. That Son in increase has been brought into us at the time of life, when we were born again. Now He would bring us to serve that purpose, to serve that Son, to serve that increase, to serve that fullness. And it's simply by the knowing of Him. By the knowing of Him. Not serving as in outward actions of doing this or doing that. I'm going to serve the Lord. No. I serve Him when I'm at rest. that purpose is served. When I'm in Sabbath, when it's not I but Christ, that purpose is served. His purpose is served. When it's not I but Christ in me. And continuing in that, even as Paul said, I may know Him. And never go beyond Him in any way. There's nothing beyond. And one of the definitions that I had somewhere here that I didn't read was basically the end goal. It literally said the end goal. Nothing beyond this. Everything points to this. And there's nothing beyond this. It's just simply to know Him and be in that relationship and rest. So,
where's your quoting Genesis 32, where at Peniel, where He says, "I have seen God face to face, and my
snatched away."
Is there a translation that you have for
that?
Good,
that's a good question. All right. That the phrase is preserved, and my life is preserved, is Strong's number 5337. And if you look it up in the Strong's or in the online Bible Hebrew lexicon, you'll find that definition. Snatched away in a good or bad sense, translated into the English as part, pluck, rid, strip, take out. And those are just some words that I picked. Because there's another verse that says, "Who shall see my face and live?" No man.
Well, it's good because it brings it right to they got caught up moving forward there. That's rabbit jura is snatched away. Is the same.
Snatched away, there you go. Be snatched away.
That verse, he loses his life, shall find it. If lose their life, shall find it. That's what I was thinking when you read that. Walked his life, through the family.
I've seen it this way, and let me know if I'm with you or if you've got a different understanding. I'm done grounded. He who loves what he thinks is his life shall lose what is really his life. He who loses what he thinks is his life shall find what is truly his life. Okay.
That's what I
did you say that the same word is caught up?
No, I wouldn't say the word. I just said that's what I thought of when you said that. Preserved and snatched away.
Yeah. I've actually got that.
Yeah. That it's snatched away, the one that you found.
Yes. I've got that verse somewhere in here. Turns to look.
And ends up having his life snatched away.
Yeah. He falls as dead.
Bring all that in with that the dead in Christ. Anyway, they which are alive and remain being caught up. That's snatched away. It's a Greek word there, but it's really same communication.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
Meet the Lord in the air. Anyway, that's really good.
Amen. That's all.